Good morning. Good morning. How is everybody? If you are blessed this morning in worship, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you are a guest this morning, I forgot to say this earlier. One of the ways that we like to follow up with you, if you'd like to just, there's a tear off in your bulletin, just fill that out, put it in the offering plate as it comes around. We'd love to follow up with you to see how we might be able to connect with you to help you in the Lord. Also, it's a great way to get prayer requests to us. If you have your copy of God's Word, which I pray that you do, I pray that you always come to church with your Word of God, and whether it's electronic or whether it's print, I know we're in the digital age, but nevertheless, you should have your copy of God's Word. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. One simple verse, but guys, it's got so much good news in it for us. When you get there, go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. It'll be on your screen as well. The Scripture simply says this, and I don't want to read this to you as an invitation from the Lord. It says, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known." Let's pray. Lord God, we are your people. God, we are crying out in desperation because there is no hope found in us, Lord. We need someone bigger. We need someone greater. We need someone who is almighty, and there's no one else on the earth that meets that character but you, Father. We pray in the name of Christ that we would call out to you, God, that you would answer, that you would show yourself to be amazing. Father, I pray if there's one here this morning who is yet to trust Christ as Savior, we pray that they, this very hour, would call out to you for salvation, God. And you have promised that for every person that comes to you, you will not turn aside, but you will receive, you will answer. Father, would you save somebody even this hour? We ask that you would meet us in this place. We are your people, and we rejoice in you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and grab a seat. How many of you guys were alive in 1963? Okay, all right. Several of us were. Several of us were alive in 1963. For those of you that were not, that was a really important year. 1963, when you look at history, and particularly American history, it was really important because in those days, the world was on the brink of nuclear holocaust. Nuclear disaster. I mean, just it felt like if you were alive in those days, as I read back in history and as I talk to people, you just always felt like it was just one button click from the end of it. How many of you young folks in here, you do tornado drills at your school? Raise your hand if you've ever done a tornado drill at your school. All right, you remember how you get out in the hallway and you cover up? How many of you young folks here, I'm talking about the young folks, how many of you young folks have ever in your school done a nuclear bomb drill? All right, some of you have. How many older folks have done a nuclear bomb drill, right? Yeah, back in those days, they would say, you got to get under your seat and cover by the desk and all those things. You're thinking, I thought it was a nuclear bomb. What's my desk going to do? You know, it's a bomb coming here, okay? But nevertheless, they would go through trainings to prepare because it could happen, they felt like, at any single moment. It was a very tense time in American history. It was sort of after that Cuban Missile Crisis that America and Russia, which at that time was called the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, something like that, USSR, they decided we need to change some things because it was through that. I mean, they were on the very brink. I mean, just seconds away from pushing the button to launch the nuclear bombs. They decided, you know, it might be good if we could find out a way to talk directly because at that time, it just took a long time to decipher and to get word to one another. In fact, the leader of the USSR had sent a message at one point, and it took the U.S. 11 hours to receive it and decipher it. To translate it. I mean, there was just a lot of time, and when you're on the brink of pushing a button to launch a missile, 11 hours is just too long. So they said, maybe we could link up somehow. And so they came up with this idea, what they called the Moscow-Washington Hotline. How many of y'all ever heard of that? The Moscow-Washington, that is still in effect today. We had a direct line straight to Moscow. Now, it wasn't an actual phone or anything like that. But in the middle of crisis, it was a way that they could communicate. They needed a direct line to one another. And let's be honest, I mean, a direct line is a really important thing when you're on the brink of nuclear war. But what about for you and me? What about for you and me? I know between Moscow and Washington, that's great. But what about for you and me? Is there something or is there someone that you and I can turn to when we face crises in our own life? Right? When the wheels just fall off, right? When the doors bust open, when it all blows up, is there someone or something that we can turn to? What about in the everyday life, even in the mundane, in the boring, in the things that are not crises, it's just part of life? Is there someone or is there something that we can turn to? And I say to you this morning, praise God, yes, yes, there is. Even when if it's not a crisis, no matter what's happening, we can turn to God. Every single one of us here, we have something way better than the Moscow, Washington hotline. We have, through the gift of prayer, a direct line to heaven. A direct line to heaven through prayer. And it brings our community. Just picture this for a moment. Right? I mean, when we call somebody on our cell phones, I mean, just picture the sound waves going up and hitting a tower and all this stuff hitting a satellite and bouncing around outer space and then back down. Picture for a moment you beginning to pray and the very words of your mouth reaching the throne room of heaven. Picture that for a moment. If you think cell phone technology is amazing, and it is, it blows my mind. I don't know how Wes and those guys do it. It blows my mind. But picture your very heart's desires leaving your brain. You don't even have to speak them. Just think them. And it enters in to the very presence of God Almighty. Man, glory to God. He's good to us, isn't he? He's so good to us. You and I have a direct line to heaven. This morning, we're going to look at the fifth building block of faith. We've looked at salvation and church membership. We've looked at growing in Christ. We've looked at serving the Lord. And this morning, we're going to talk about prayer. Our text, I've already read it, Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Let me remind you what it says. It says, call to me, and I'll answer you, and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Now, immediately in this text, we're not going to get into all the background of this, but just know that in the context here, God is speaking directly to his prophet, Jeremiah, who is in the middle of a great crisis. His nation, the southern kingdom of Judah, was being wiped off the face of the planet for a little while. He was in the midst of that. He was crying out. It was a dangerous time to be alive in the nation of Judah. But when I read this, I see a call to the people of God throughout all the generations, right? Think about this. All throughout the scripture, the people of God are called to call out to God. Isn't that right? All over the Bible, the people of God have been called out to call out to God. I believe that this text provides us with one of those foundational truths that you and I need to be encouraged to do what God calls us to do all over the Bible. And that is, here's the point for this morning. Pray in all faith at all times. That's what believers are to do. Believers are to pray. But how are you to pray? In all faith. That means believing. And we're going to talk about why you can believe it here in just a moment. And at all times. And we're going to see that in the scripture as well. Pray in all faith at all times. Through our text, it's only one verse. But it points us to three reasons that you and I should pray in all faith at all times. And so maybe you came in this morning and you believe in prayer, but you kind of doubt prayer. I pray this morning would be especially an encouragement to you. The first reason to pray in all faith at all times is simply that God is listening. God is listening. Look at what God commands us here in verse 3 again. He says, call to me. God himself, the God of the universe, this may come as a shock to some of you here this morning, but the God of the universe hears you. He is a living God. He's a loving God. You are his creature and he is your creator. And the Bible says that he delights in us. Over and over again in the Psalms, the psalmist cry out to God, hear our prayer, God. Psalm 4, verse 1, be gracious to me and hear my prayer. Psalm 17, verse 1, hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit. Psalm 54, verse 2, and we could go on and on here. Psalm 54, verse 2, O God, hear my prayer. Give ear to the words of my mouth. At least 12 times in the Psalms we see that kind of language. God, hear me. God, give ear to me. God, listen to me. But I say to you, beloved, take heart, because God hears every word. Amen? He hears every word. God hears your prayers. He is listening. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you are in the universe. He hears. If you're in Africa, he hears. If you're in Antarctica, he hears. Australia, we could go on and on. If you're on Mars, God hears. I'm here to declare that God even hears over in Edmondson County, right? Come on now. I was over there playing golf just 2 Saturdays ago. And I was over there with Scott. And I was doing a lot of praying. Oh, Lord, let this little stupid ball go in that hole, you know? Oh, you know, sometimes he said yes, other times he said no. But anyway, it doesn't matter where you are. God hears you. God hears you. He is listening, waiting for you to cry out. He hears you because he's with you. Think about this. The Bible in the Psalms at one point says, where can I flee your presence? And the answer is you can't. That's why he hears you at all times, 24/7, because where you are, there he is. He's listening. And what's he listening for? Your prayers. God is listening for your prayers. If you were to define prayer, I would define it simply as conversation with God Almighty. And you might say, well, that doesn't sound holy enough. You've got a misunderstanding of what prayer is, right? We think that we've got to put on a little hat or get in the right clothes or go into the right room and get in the right position. No, no. It's conversation with God Almighty. Andrew Murray said that prayer is not monologue but dialogue. Oswald Chambers said that prayer is the exercise of drawing on the grace of God. A.W. Pink said prayer is not so much an act as it is an attitude of dependency, dependency upon God. Edwin Keith said that prayer is exhaling the spirit of man and inhaling the spirit of God. And I like all of those because each one of them gives us a little extra nuance as to what prayer is. Prayer is not boring. Prayer is not useless. In fact, it is necessary and it is powerful. Amen? If you want to see things change, pray. We hear people say things, we hear them say all the time, prayer is powerful. But can I just remind you that it's not really prayer that's powerful, but the God to whom you're praying, right? I mean, your words, the power is not in your words. I know there are Word of Faith teachers out there who are going to just say, just speak it and it's going to happen. Like when you speak it, it just ties the hand of God to do what you said. No, no. The power is not in your words, but in the God to whom you are praying to. And if you'll open your mouth and open your heart and lift it up to him, he hears you and will move. He has promised to do so. And it's also necessary. Prayer is necessary. Think about this for just a moment. That's why the Bible in Colossians 4:2 commands us to continue steadfastly in prayer. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Or maybe one that you probably have memorized, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 or 5:17, pray without what? Ceasing. Man, don't ever stop. Don't ever stop. Wherever you are, you should be in conversation with God, speaking to God. You are to always be aware of the presence of God and in an open line of communication with God. Now, absolutely, there are times, head bowed, eye closed, on your knees, in your private place, wherever you pray, where nobody can see you. There are absolutely times for that. But prayer is conversation with the Almighty. And so guess what that means? Sometimes it's eyes open, head up, and driving down the road. Y'all better not be closing your eyes and praying and driving. Right? Otherwise, you can't pray while you drive. And listen, you need to pray while you drive out there. Listen, especially you go to Nashville, Tennessee. You got to pray and drive while you're down there. Okay? This is necessary not because God needs our prayers. Let's get this straight. God does not need our prayers, but because we need to pray, right? We need to call on the Almighty who can do what we cannot do. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, "Preacher, I hear you talking about prayer, but I just don't know how to pray." Here's what I'd say to you. First, I would say to you, just let it come from the heart. What's on your heart? What's troubling you? What excites you? What do you want to see happen? What do you pray that God would intervene in and make a difference in? Let it come from your heart. But secondly, I would point you to Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus gives us a model prayer. Right? We've called that in Christianese, we've called that the Lord's Prayer. But really, it's just a model prayer that Jesus gave us. Now, I know we've all memorized it in different ways, but let's all say it together this morning, the Lord's Prayer. Say it in just the way you memorize, and it's going to be okay. Let's try it. On the count of three. One, two, three. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. Some of y'all said thou and art and all those things. That's great. Praise God. You learned it in that kind of language. Praise God. Some of you didn't use that language. But again, that's a great model prayer for how you and I can pray. Think about that for just a moment. Let's break it down just quickly just to help you this morning. Just to help you this morning, here Jesus has given us some important components to prayer. First, when we pray to God, we need to recognize that He's the one that we're praying to, right? Our Father who is in heaven. Secondly, when we approach God, one of the things that's good to do is to praise God. Hallowed be your name. Third, ask God that His will would be done on the earth. Don't y'all want God's will to be done? I mean, I've got a will that I want to see happen. I've got plans, and I know other people have plans and all that. But praise God, let His will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fourth, a good thing to include in our prayer here is to petition God for your needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Fifth, ask God to give you your greatest need, which is not food. It's not even the oxygen that you're breathing, but His grace that covers sin. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Sixth, ask God to protect you from sin, your flesh, and the devil. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Seventh, close with praise again. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now remember, this is a model prayer, isn't it? And so it's okay to pray that from time to time, but I pray that you would see the Lord's Prayer like training wheels on a bicycle. Okay? Training wheels on a bicycle. There becomes a point where it's like, okay, I'm going to pray from my heart instead of by memory, okay? And so this is a great way to teach us to pray, but this is not what we should pray all the time. At one point, you got to get the training wheels off. But whatever you say to God, know that God is listening. Call to me, God says. God is listening. That's the first reason this morning that you and I should pray in all faith at all times. Here's the second reason. Again, it's a simple outline this morning. But guys, sometimes we just make it harder than it is. Amen? God is listening. Second, God will answer. He will answer. Our text, Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will what, church? Answer you. Praise God. It doesn't say I might answer you. It doesn't say maybe. It emphatically says, I will answer you. Friend, I want you to know this morning, there is no such thing as unanswered prayer. Amen? I know old Garth Brooks saying, sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayer. However he sang that. But you know what he should have sang? Sometimes I thank God for saying no to my prayer, right? I mean, if he's going to be biblically accurate, because there is never a time in our life when we lift up a prayer to God that he does not answer us in some way. Now, we might not get the answer that we're looking for. We might not get the answer that we're looking for. I believe when I look at Scripture and in life, I believe there are three answers we can get. And every one of us have gotten these answers before. One is yes. You pray, God, this, and he says yes. You see it happen in your life. Sometimes it seems like just automatically, overnight. There's really no delay in God saying yes and granting your prayer, hearing your prayer and saying yes. There are other times when he says no. He flat out says no. Think about a time in your life. Think about this here for just a moment. Think about in your life, you prayed for something. And think about how different your life would be today if God had said yes to that prayer. Where would you be today? Who would you be married to? What job would you have? What house would you live in? What city would you be in? Would you even still be on planet Earth today if God had said yes to what you thought should absolutely be a yes? Life would be so different, wouldn't it? That's why we trust in God. And when he says no, we rest in that no, knowing that he has a plan that he is perfectly working out. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that he said no to many of my prayers. Because sometimes I pray ignorantly, sometimes I pray foolishly and selfishly. But let's be honest there, when it comes to the no's, sometimes they're a little bit harder to discern, aren't they? I mean, maybe there's something that you've been praying for a long, long time. And it's God's not said no yet, it seems. I mean, he hasn't closed that door, but it feels like a no, right? God very well might be saying no, but you don't want to give up. How many of y'all have a prayer in your life like that, right? You're praying and God has not closed that door yet, and you don't stop on it. You just keep on praying it. And you don't know, it might be a no. That's why there's this third category that I believe when God answers prayer, sometimes it's yes, other times it's no, and then other times it's yes, but not yet, right? Y'all seen that before? Where he's gonna grant it to you, he's gonna give it to you, but he says yes, but not yet. And it feels like a no. It feels like God is saying no, but at some point in your life, in God's timing, it comes to pass. Yes, but not yet. What does that mean? That means that you and I should never give up on a prayer that is from our heart, because your yes might be just around the corner. Just around the corner. What is it that you've been praying that you feel tempted to just quit praying for? Don't stop, because your answer very well might be yes, but not yet. But in all these things, guys, we're entrusting ourselves to the sovereign God of the universe, who always does what is right. He always does what is wise. He always does what is loving. Friends, listen to me. God knows what's best. Amen. God knows what is best. Now, I know a lot of people, and maybe there are even some people gathered together here at South Campus this morning who are mad at God because he didn't say yes to your prayer. I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand, but let me just say this. Do you know what you're doing? If you're mad at God for not saying yes to your prayer, you know what you're doing? You are judging God and accusing him of wrongdoing. And that is sin. Guys, entrust your soul to your Creator, the God who always does what is right. He can do no wrong, the Bible says. And he knows why he's doing it. He has a righteous reason, a good reason, and you should trust him. God is listening and God will answer. He even answers moans and groans. Y'all ever been there before? You didn't know what to pray, so it's like, oh. Or you go to pray and it's just, God hears that. God hears that. Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8. I want you to see this. The book of Romans, chapter 8, the 18th verse. I want you to see all this because there's going to be a lot of groaning and a lot of sighing in this passage of Scripture here. And I want you to see that God hears that and God understands that. Romans 8, 18 through 23. It says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. That the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." You and I know, if you've been on the earth at any point, you know that this fallen age brings groaning and sighing. It brings heartache and heartbreak and loss and all those things. And sometimes we don't even have words to utter what it means to us. We just moan and sigh. We were laughing at, I believe it was supper last night. We were talking about when Samuel was born, and Christy in the delivery room let out this groan, and I said, "What does that mean?" It was, "Go get the doctor quick." But I couldn't discern that. But God knew it. And I want to say to you that God knows when you sigh and when you moan and then words can't even be put out of your mouth to heaven to pray. God knows what you're saying and what your soul needs. I'm not going to ask daddies this morning. I'm going to ask mommies. Moms, can you tell a difference in how your baby cries, what it is they need? I mean, to daddies, it's like a dog whistle. We just can't hear it. But mommies know. It's just something about the way they cry. Maybe they're hungry. Maybe they're thirsty. Maybe they're tired. Maybe they're gassy. Maybe their brother just bit them. I've seen that happen too. Medical research, though, think about this for just a moment. Medical research, I just saw a thing in the Wall Street Journal last year that said now they're doing research and they're able to take a baby's cry and break it down and analyze it, and that cry itself communicates so much more than we would ever know. Not only can it tell if a baby's hungry or whatever else needs to be changed or whatever, they can actually tell from the baby's cry itself if there's a defect in the central nervous system. I mean, who would have thought? Who would have ever thought that? Let me say this, though. If mommies and daddies and doctors can detect that much in an infant's cry, how much more the one who made you and is always listening and knows all things can tell what you're groaning and what you're praying about, and he knows it. Amen? He's the God who knows and the God who cares. You can trust him, and he knows. You don't even have to utter it. He knows what you need before you even utter it even. That's the kind of God. The God who knit you in your mother's womb. That is the God who has asked you, who has invited you to pray to him. Pray in all faith at all times because God will answer. Now listen, there are going to be haters. But y'all know what they say about that. Haters gonna hate, right? And there are always gonna be skeptics. that say when you pray to God and then you see it happen, there are always going to be those skeptics and haters who say, well, that's just coincidence. I love what Dan Hayes said. He said, all I know is that when I pray, coincidences happen. And when I don't pray, they don't. God is listening. God will answer. And finally this morning, pray in all faith at all times because God will bless. Can I get an amen from that? God will bless. Look at Jeremiah 33 one last time. Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. That reminds me that not only will God answer, but God will bless. Friends, so very often in prayer, God will go above and beyond what we asked Him for. We asked Him for this much, and He gives this much. How many times y'all had that happen? Where God just go, I mean, it's like, we say around our house, man, He just blessed my socks off, right? You've been there before? That's the kind of God that we have. I want to say that's the kind of God that we're experiencing right here at South Campus. Right, I mean, what this right here is the answer to a multitude of prayers. A multitude of prayers. But as I've shared with some of you, it's an answer to my prayer. In 2007, I was finishing my master's degree, and Christy and I were praying about where we might go. We were feeling stirred by God to go plant a church in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And we got it hooked up with the Kentucky Baptist Convention, and we went through the assessments, and we were given the green light to go forward with planting a church. And we went out, and we said, well, maybe the northern corridor of 31W, Louisville Road. And then we said, well, what about Alverton Plano? And God is my witness. I got in a truck one day and just drove around Alverton Plano. And I said, man, it would be awesome for a church to be right here. This place needs Jesus, just like every other place in the world. But then God took me a different direction. He took me to Tennessee. And at the whole time, God was working, and that desire in my heart to start a new work was still bubbling up. Even in 2011, I went and gathered all the church planting books that I could find. I wanted to read them again. And then in 2014, here we are. And I want to say to you this morning that God answered my prayer, and I believe He's answering y'all's prayers far beyond. I didn't even know to ask for this, right? I didn't even know the specifics and the details. I just knew that God had something in my heart, and I knew that He would answer. But guys, think about this. God often, when we pray to Him, does not just answer. He exceeds everything we pray for. He doesn't just answer. He blesses. He brings it like Jesus said in Luke 38, right? 6:38, pressed down, shaken together and running over into your lap, right? You got to go get another bucket. It's too much to handle in one. That's how God works. That's the God to whom you're praying. I say to you this morning, pray and pray boldly, because God, the one to whom you're praying, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. His ability to bless is endless, and His grace and mercy and love in all of that, He often blesses us way more than we ever asked for. There was a man once in Australia. He was in Australia, and he felt led by God to bring Christian music to his nation. I don't know if you know about Australia, but at that time, it was not a very Christian nation. I believe it's still not. I know Hillsong has kind of blown up. But this was back in the 1990s, kind of before all that. And Australia at that time was only 5% Christian. And so back in the 70s, he kind of got some work there promoting Amy Grant and Petra. He brought them down there and he said, this is going to change Australia. Guess what? It bankrupted him. He brought them down there from that concert tour in Australia. He owed a debt of $250,000. They took his house. He said, my goodness, what am I going to do? And so in 1991, a leading Christian artist brought him to Nashville. He brought his kids, who at that time were between the age 1 and 14, and they did what they thought would be unthinkable. They moved to the United States of America from Australia. But after they got here, just a few months in, the company, the artist came to them and said, thank you for coming, but we no longer need you. You're like, oh my goodness. They had already been living in a hotel room, actually two of them, because their family was too large to fit into one, and they were eating fast food, and they had just bought a house, getting ready to move into it. And so this man, by the name of David Smallbone, he gathered his kids together along with his wife Helen, and they began to pray, and they began to ask God. And their oldest daughter, Rebecca, they got out and they went and took jobs. They raked leaves and they mowed lawns, and Rebecca babysat for people, and they helped mom clean the house and all those things. And as they began to pray, some strange things began to happen. Bags of groceries, when they woke up in the morning, would be on their doorstep. And Sunday school classes just donated furniture to their home. And at one point, a man, no strings attached, gave them a brand new Toyota Previa van, a minivan. And you're thinking, wow, that's how God moves. But God wasn't done yet, right? He didn't just answer. He blesses. Soon after that, a major surprise, Forefront Records heard a demo of their daughter Rebecca singing. They offered her, she was 15 years old at the time of contract, and she recorded her first album at 16 years old, and she took an old family name. She didn't take the name Rebecca Smallbone. She took the old family name St. James. How many of y'all heard of Rebecca St. James? Guys, she, Dove Awards later, Grammy Awards, all these other things, sales that like up in the millions, all these things. God answers prayer, and he often blesses. Now, I'm not saying that very thing will happen to you, right? I mean, this is not name it and claim it. But if you will be faithful, whatever your need is, God will answer. He's promised to. And I believe that God will bless. Can I get an amen this morning? That's exactly what God is going to do. So church, what I say to you this morning, I say pray. Pray early. Pray often. Pray without ceasing. Pray boldly. Pray in all faith at all times, because you have a God who is listening, who will answer, and who will bless. May we continually ask our God, who can do all things. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to this time of invitation, we know, Father, that there is nothing too hard for you. Father, you never slumber or sleep. You at all times, Lord, are listening and ready to receive what rises up from our heart and from our lips. And so we come to you this morning asking, God, that you would meet us here. Father, one prayer that you always with great joy say yes to is the prayer of salvation. Maybe there's someone here this morning, just from the witness of the congregation, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, this morning God says, come to Christ and be saved. Father, I pray that you would move in our midst. If there's that person here this morning, they would cry out from the depth of their heart, and in this very hour, be saved from their sin through Jesus Christ. I'd be glad to talk with them up front, Lord, to help them meet Jesus. Father, I pray for the rest of us who are already Christians, that we would be bold in prayer, because we know you're listening, because we know you'll answer, and because you will certainly bless. Prayer, Father, is a great gift from you, and we pray we would use it with great regularity. And so right now, Father, in heaven, hear our prayers. And may your will be done on this earth. It's in Jesus' name we pray.